translation in Popat by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. The great sage Srila Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any questions without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Pariksit approached him, offered his respects by bowing down before him and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. The gesture now adopted by Maharaj Pariksit of questioning a master is quite befitting in terms of scriptural injunctions. The scriptural injunction is that one should humbly approach a spiritual master to understand the transcendental science. Maharaj Pariksit was now prepared for meeting his death, and within a very short time of 7 days, he was now the process of entering the kingdom of God. In such important cases, one is required to approach a spiritual master. There is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of life. One who does not know how to put questions before the master has no business seeing him. And the qualification of the spiritual master is perfectly manifested in the person of Sukadeva Goswami. Both the spiritual master and the disciple, namely Srila Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami learned Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva, but he had no chance to recite it. Before Maharaj Pariksit, the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and the answers of questions of Maharaj Pariksit unhesitatingly, thus both the master and the disciple got salvation. Just go through a few prayers. Oh, Sarva Stapta Priyu Sarva Vedik Chad Prala Sarva Siddhanta Ratna Sarva Loke Prada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvandat Vidya Sri Krishna Pravatita Pramata Pataya Prema Vasa Akshate Savata Sarva Sevaya Sri Krishna Namostutu Tume Mad Eka Bandhu Mad Sangha Mad Guru Mana Mahat Dana Mastanaka Mad Bhagya Mad Ananda Namostute Asodu Sastu Dinya Achincha Tarka He Na Muni Cha Kadichit Mam Premnana Kataya Spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar of churn from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, who are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kaliyuga, you are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my friend, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to insanity, O uplifter of the fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. It seems from this purport how uh, generally this is a general tendency of people in the outside world. They seem to think, in terms of approaching spirituality, they can do it in their own way. They're not willing to accept proper authority to follow the process. But then we see on the other side how, in order to achieve things, they have to learn from a teacher. They cannot learn it with their own way. Example, famous example Prabhupada gives is like the doctor. He says, one cannot just go and read. You can buy books in the shop of what the doctors do and how they do their surgery, whatever. But just by reading these books doesn't qualify one as a doctor. One has to go to medical college. Then he has to get certified by 3 doctors. Then he's qualified to be a doctor. In the same way, any other subject like being an engineer, you have to go to engineering college. It just shows how from this materially people have to go to a teacher to learn things, to achieve what they want to do. It's not like they can just learn by themselves. But the interesting thing about this is how from this we can see how because people want to be cheated, Krishna arranges cheaters to cheat them. And the other side of it is how because people are too materially attached and they're not ready to let go of the material attachments to that extent, that they're not ready to let go of the material attachment to that extent, they can't see the spiritual vision. They can't see the spiritual path. Spiritual path gets covered more and more. And we can see even in the 10 offenses of the holy name, the last one is to maintain material attachments, even after understanding the glories of the holy name. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Devi Shugunamai Mama Madhurete Mama Papadyante Mayavita Tarantite, that this material energy is my energy, but it's very difficult to overcome unless one surrenders to me. So so within the Krishna conscious movement, the process which we are following is what Maharaj Pariksit followed in his time. Like it says in previous times, 5,000 years back, the kings and the royal dynasties, they used to follow this process of worshipping deities and the culture was there to educate the masses of people on the spiritual path. That culture was there. They also consulted brahmanas, the spiritual masters, in order to help others on the spiritual path. And this is one of the reasons when Maharaj Pariksit, he gets cursed within 7 days, he quickly renounced. He wasn't attached. Because he had that knowledge of scripture, upbringing on the culture was there. And the other side was, another interesting thing is he was a deep thinker. So this is one of the main aspects in the spiritual life. One has to come to becoming a deep thinker. Otherwise, one cannot practice spiritual life. If one is not introspective in his practices and he's just like a parrot, it won't work. It's just saying for the sake of saying, it doesn't work. Some people may have certain qualifications from previous lives of good karma, where they have good ability of management or good ability of speaking, something may be there, you know, in terms of how they can pick up things quickly. But these things don't help in themselves. One has to take to the spiritual path seriously in terms of sadhana bhakti. One has to follow sadhana bhakti. And one has to follow, serve advanced devotees. Because it's not with our strength we are making spiritual advancement. It's by the mercy of advanced devotees, spiritual masters, the advanced devotees, they're praying to Krishna on our behalf. So this is how we are making spiritual advancement. There's a Srila Prabhupada lecture I heard, 2711, 1966. So Prabhupada explains in the lecture how we have to approach the perfect person to achieve perfect knowledge. So Krishna is the most perfect person. And so even we see, even the spiritual master, he's representative of Krishna. He doesn't do anything which is not in line with Krishna's teachings. There was a letter I read by Prabhupada in the Shikshamrita. Prabhupada is encouraging some devotee that you just carry on and depend on Krishna, everything will work out. So, even I had an instance in Leicester many years back when I was preaching there. Difficult times were there a little bit. And Srila Bhakti Churumaya told me, he said, just depend on Krishna. So, we can see how the spiritual master goes in the line of what Krishna wants him to do. And one time Srila Prabhupada was asked, does the spiritual master know everything? And Prabhupada answered by saying, the spiritual master only knows what Krishna allows him to know. So we can see how... but the main thing about the spiritual master is that he is making sure that his disciple makes advancement. So he will give instruction according to what the disciple can take. And Srila Prabhupada gave an example of that. There was one devotee, he had a wife, but he wanted to marry someone else. And Shruti Kitipa was there at that time. And Prabhupada sanctioned that devotee to marry again or something. So Shruti Kiriprabhu asked Prabhupada, how is that possible? Because the culture is, if you married one time, you can't marry a second time. And Prabhupada explained that, I go deeper into understanding what's good for the disciple. To make sure that my disciple is advancing in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada explained to Shruti Kiriprabhu that even if I said no, he would have done it anyway. So then now he would have made an offense to Guru. So in that way he would have fallen down. But at least if he marries again, he carries on in Krishna consciousness, that's better for him. So Prabhupada explained like this, My main concern is that my disciples make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we can see how the spiritual master in that sense is more merciful than Krishna. Like he sort of makes adjustment for the disciples so he can make advancement in his Krishna consciousness. But the only qualification from a disciple's point of view is that he has to follow what the spiritual masters told him. That's the basic qualification. Instruction-wise, then the mercy flows. So, for us, Srila Prabhupada gave us the basic instruction of chanting 16 rounds and following four principles and reading his books. And following sadhana bhakti. For the outside devotees who don't live in the temple, they're living outside doing services and they initiate it, we can see how the spiritual masters are a little more merciful to them compared to what, in terms of knowing that they cannot follow what the temple devotees are doing. So examples are there, like Prabhupada said, one should chant his 16 rounds before 10 o'clock in the morning. So if someone does that, then sex desire will not disturb them. But for the outside devotees who are grihasthas, the spiritual masters who are looking after them are a little more merciful. Like, they tell them, okay, by midday you must chant 16 rounds. Like that. Or some spiritual masters say, you must do 10 rounds, then 6 rounds you can do later on. Like that. So we can see how, in this way, the spiritual masters are looking after their disciples to help them to become spiritually strong. So, in his lecture, Prabhupada explained how what is the qualifications for looking for a spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, initially, just like if someone wants to take education, he has to know what a school is. If he doesn't know what a school is, how is he going to get education? He'll get cheated. He'll go to a grocery shop or something, he'll get cheated. So in other words, in order to search for a spiritual master, one has to know primarily the qualification of a spiritual master to some extent. But then there's an interesting tattva on this point. I just looked up something. Let's see if I can find it. Anyway, so Prabhupada explains Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains these quotations how actually without it says Brahmananda Brahmane Kon Bhagwanji, Guru Krishna Prasada Bhakti Rata Beach. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his court, he explains the point that without the Paramatma's mercy, or without, like, even in this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot understand the instruction of the Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. So it's not like we can separate Krishna and Guru. One has to have both. Some think that I just follow Guru. But that's not correct also. Because if someone just follows Guru and not Krishna, then he can become a Mayavadi. And on the other hand, if someone just follows Krishna and not respecting Guru, he becomes a Sahaja. So both have to be there. So so we can see how Maharaj Pariksit had this qualification, how he respected the line of scriptures and spiritual masters and upholding the spiritual culture of worshipping the deities and everything, because it says when Maharaj Pariksit was born, he was also worshipping deities. He was worshipping, playing with deities and So Prabhupada makes one other important point in his lecture. He says, it's a good argument Prabhupada gives. He says, Krishna was encouraging Arjuna to fight. From a moral point of view, this may seem not good. Because Arjuna was a nice person, he had good behavior. But there's a lesson to be learned from this, that the general public may say, okay, yeah, the general public may say, so the general public may not agree that fighting is good. In other words, they may general public always try to stop wars. They think war is not a good thing. But we can see here, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. So Prabhupada's point is that what the general public may view as good may not be viewed from a good point of view, from Krishna's point of view. So Prabhupada is making this point in his lecture that what Krishna may view as good, the public may not agree. They may view something differently as good. So that's why it says, for those who are seriously practicing spiritual life, our line is to Guru Sadhu Shastra. Just like Srila Prabhupada told the devotees here some many years back when he was giving class here, he told the devotees, so many books have gone out, so much preaching has been done, all of you can leave now. And Prabhupada said, I wouldn't like you to leave, but the point I'm making is, Prabhupada is saying to them, that if you stay, you get the credit. But no one can stop the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you don't get the credit, someone else will get the credit. So, if someone is thinking that they can stop the holy name spreading and they have their own agenda behind, thinking that they're going to get their way, then that's like going against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So this kind of approach of doing it your way, not going Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way, means that you'll end up somewhere else. Because according to this quote by Prabhupada, he's saying, no one can stop the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If someone doesn't, those who are in the mission don't do what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants, then they will move on somewhere else, and someone else will get the credit. And this is we see in the line of ISKCON, this is the history of, in the past, in Prabhupada's time, there were leaders which Prabhupada put there as to push on a mission. But we see some of them didn't follow and they moved on to another place. And we see in the place of them, others came in to push on the mission. So even the same thing applies with the spiritual masters. Like if they follow on line of parampara, then they're empowered. Then they're empowered to help others in terms of. But if they deviate from the line of teachings, then the empowerment gets taken away. So in other words, basically, in a simple way, we are, in one sense, just Krishna's postman. We're just passing on Krishna's message to others. So Srila Prabhupada was asked the question, who will carry on your mission after you leave this, after you leave your body? So Prabhupada, he told those who approached him, Shishi Radha Gokulanda ki jai, Sita Lakshman Man Gonitai ki jai. So Prabhupada told these rich people that those who read my books will carry on my heritage. So that's what we are doing in ISKCON, which was followed 5,000 years back by Maharaj Pariksit, where they used to recite Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they used to discuss. So that's what we are doing now, which is the same process. It's not different. Only thing is, the times have changed. In those times, when Maharaj Pariksit was there, you would get great sages coming down, demigods, more opponents would be there. When Kali Yuga, everything's taken away, you know. He says, lifespan is short, memory is not so great, people are unfortunate, misguided, unlucky. But the thing about the... But there is a blessing in Kali Yuga, actually. That in other ages, to take to chanting the holy name was more difficult. Because lifespan was much longer. Like in Dwapara Yuga, 1,000 years, deity worship was there. In Treta Yuga, 10,000 years of sacrifices was there. In Satya Yuga, 60,000 years of meditation was there. But chanting of the holy name was more difficult because the pride was much higher. People could not take to chanting so easy. That faith in chanting wasn't easy to take to. Because it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, that in Satya Yuga people would think, how can you achieve perfection by moving your lips and tongue? They would think, better to go to the Himalayas and do austerity, which is higher, they would consider much more important. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared to... Uh, many, I think there are four acharyas who spread the mission, Ramanujacharya, and then Ramanujacharya was very, very eager to spread this mission of chanting the holy name throughout the world. But Lord Chaitanya told him, this is not the time, you carry on with your mission. When the time is right, I will come. So, and he told some of the devotees, you take birth in Kali Yuga. Because he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't, this is the reason why he appears in Kali Yuga, because in Satyuga people are too proud to take to chanting the holy name. And in Kali Yuga people, their pride is smashed. Everything's gone. So they have no other option except to take to chanting the holy name. So so we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam so many up to 1 to 9 cantos is explaining about Krishna's greatness, how great he is in terms of opulence and his different incarnations, just to bring us to the level of appreciating Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And within that 9 cantos, the glories of the holy name is also expanded. Although the holy name is beyond the scriptures, it is manifest in scriptures for our benefit. Because in the 12th canto, 12.3.51, it says, Kali doste nide rajan asti ke mahagun Krishna, Krishna eva Krishnaya muktam param rajet. That although this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is one good quality Bhadi says, that if someone takes to this chanting of the holy name, he can achieve perfection very quickly. So, so in order for people to come to this stage of seriously chanting the holy name, this chance, this sadhana bhakti is there. And Prabhupada says in letters, by following the sadhana bhakti, at some point when we come to Raghunuga bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. There are a few instances to show how the spiritual master is not different from Krishna in terms of instruction-wise, is that whatever instruction he gives is actually to help that disciple in terms of his spiritual advancement. There was a devotee I met in Ujjain. He was from South Africa, so he was married. But his spiritual master told him, Partha Sahati Prabhu, or I think his Maharaj, he told him that you must give up your job and you have to do preaching activities. So the mother-in-law was like, how can you do that, you know? You can't. Who's going to maintain your wife? How is? So then he just gave her the job and started preaching, and everything worked out. Preaching was expanding, everything worked out. So he gave that, he was speaking about how his little vision and following the spiritual master's order, how things balance out easy. Because that order is not different from what Krishna is saying to the disciple. And also, Srila Bhakti Chura Maharaj gave his realization on this one time, how he said how Prabhupada told him, just give this one life to Krishna. Don't divert to anything. And just that order was a clear vision how to go forward. So the Krishna consciousness path is easy for those who are serious, but it's difficult for those who are not serious. So the secret is to be like Mahaprabhu, become a deep thinker, and in this way take to the Krishna consciousness and things will become easy. Any comments or questions? Any mics?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much. Very nice class. My question is, you said that we have to follow Krishna and we have to follow the spiritual master, and that you can't do one. So how do you know what Krishna wants you to do, and like the difference between what Krishna wants you to do and spiritual master wants you to do? Because aren't they the same? Because you said that the spiritual, whatever order comes from the spiritual master is the order from Krishna, but there's no difference.
Yeah, the thing is, the spiritual master is instructing according to what Krishna wants you to do. If he gives you a direct order, now, if you can't understand that order, you have to question it and work something out. But you can't disobey that order. You can question the instruction which is given to you, or given. Like that devotee in South Africa questioned his guru that, what should I do? You know, like, I'm married, got a job, are you asking me to preach? So how is everything going to work out? How am I going to maintain my family, this and that? But his guru told him, no, you have to preach. So he just followed that order and he gave up his job, started preaching, and things started happening. People started coming, everything started happening. So that's the instruction. So in that sense, this devotee questioned, but then he got the answer also. Everything became cleared.
Can I ask another question? For Matajis, for women, they, like, you know, they say that your first guru, like, especially the ones who get married, they say the first guru is their husband. So, like, should you follow your husband or should you follow the spiritual master?
Well, ideally, the instruction is that your spiritual master is looking after you. He's taking care of you. Just like even as brahmacharis, we are here under our spiritual master's instruction. Even grihasthas, they are under spiritual master's instruction. Like, even if a grihastha wants to have children, he has to take a blessing from a spiritual master. And then under that, they can go forward. It's not like the grihastha is independent. He has to go by spiritual master's guidance. Because it's only by that, you can't approach Krishna directly. Krishna has sent spiritual master to you, so you have to take his guidance, and then then you can approach Krishna. Because there's a quote by Sanatana Das, one of the teachers in our line. He says that if Krishna becomes angry with you, he will still accept your service. But if spiritual master rejects you, then you're lost. So we can say from that point of view, the spiritual master is more merciful than Krishna. And he knows what's good for you. You just follow the instruction, everything works out. Very simple. Any other comments or questions? I think Prabhuji's got one. Just, okay. Behind you.
There's another consideration too, that it's when the spiritual master, like you were pointing out, when he gives an instruction, it's not without insight into circumstances, you know. He's given understanding by Krishna of the situation. So, as you say, the person, he had a direct instruction from his spiritual master. Now, there's also the situation where sometimes this disciple may suggest, look, I want to give up my marriage and because it's hampering my spiritual advancement. And so, but it's coming from the disciple, and it's a suggestion. So, can I give up my marriage? So, Prabhupada answered that in a wonderful letter, I think it's to Madhukari. He says that actually, by your suggestion, you think after you've just got married, that now, for whatever reasons, you're saying, oh, it's hampering my spiritual activities because of... There are difficulties in marriage, as for certain. It means responsibilities and things like that. But he says, if you think you can abandon your responsibilities and you've just given your vows, what's the use of your vows? Because you're suggesting for the sake of your own spiritual advancement. He says, this is a material consideration. That's coming from your calculation. I have not instructed you. My instruction is, you follow your vows, you look after a wife, she is a very nice devotee. He said, so in that way, he enlightened. And he said, actually, it's violence because you're thinking about what you want. So it didn't come as a direct and spiritual instruction from his spiritual master. It came from the person themselves because of his. He felt it was awkward for his circumstances. And so he asked the question to Prabhupada. And he said, actually, no, you can't just abandon vows whimsically. You have to carry on and follow through with your vows. So there's another circumstances where somebody thinks because of their difficulties or their struggles to handle family life that they can just whimsically leave it. He says it's not like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's an interesting aspect there. Okay.
Sorry. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.